This is the SoCal Artist Podcast, and today we're going to be talking about why saving the light values for the end of the painting matters. For those of you that are new to the podcast, I am Ryan Kinseth. I'm an artist based here in Southern California. I specialize in oil painting, more specifically portraits. I do event painting at weddings. I also just like to dabble in art in general. I have a bit of a background in drawing on the digital tablet as well, and drawing with graphites. And yeah, have been specializing in oils for the last 7 to 8 years. So for this episode, we're going to be talking about why saving the light values in a painting matters till the end. And I know it's been a little bit since I last came on here, but I've been saving a lot of time for painting in my free time, which is pretty important in terms of just being an artist in general. I'm working as well part-time, so I have less free time, and that goes a lot more towards painting and doing event paintings and finishing the paintings. But I am editing videos, content creation. So if you're interested in the content creation aspect, I can do episodes on that as well. I also want to bring more people on, because who wants to listen to me talk all day? I would love to listen to other people. But that means I probably should be more consistent with posting. So we'll see how that goes. So to get us into this, so why light values are the finale for painting and why I tend to put them at the end of the painting. There's quite a few benefits, I think, in terms of just the satisfaction as well at the end of a painting, just building that last bit of block and building it like a mountain, and the tip of the mountain is the lights or the paint. The end, think of a summit of Mount Everest, or if you were to just draw a really basic mountain and the top is a snowy peak, it's like that. It's like the gradual build up to lights. And there's a lot of people who tend to block in early on in the painting. It's great for beginning of oil painting, of just blocking in, you know, here's where the shadow shapes are, here's where the middle values are, and then here's where the light values will go. But I typically keep it more towards the shadows and middle values for block ins, and I don't go that light. Now, this being said, I have actually worked under a really good artist who puts the lights right away. Like, I'm talking, so her explanation, and I don't want to talk from other people's perspectives by saying their names, but really good artist. She's a portrait artist, and she likes to put in the light values and the darkest values early in the painting. And that, for her, sets the parameters of here's what the lightest light is going to be and here's what the darkest dark is going to be. And I think that's cool. And I wish my mind worked like that. I even attempted it for a couple paintings, but my mind does not work like that. And so I'm going to explain what I do for paintings. And there's different methods for everyone. So don't just take what I say. And don't just take what she says or what anyone else says. Test out what works best for you. But I'm going to explain the reasons why I like it. So when it comes to painting the light values, what I'm doing building up to this, if you think of a portrait, and when you think of skin tones in general, there's always a lot of different color varieties going on, whether it's blues, greens, reds, pinks, yellows, it's always a combination, purples, there's a lot of colors going on in the skin tones. And if you look at a skin tone that's under light, it's almost like it's translucent. And what's cool about this is, for me, if I'm doing portraits, and if you look at my paintings, you'll see that a lot of them tend to be pretty like colorful. And that's not everyone's forte, so hopefully if you're listening to this podcast, it's because you like that style where it's leaning more towards little bit exaggerated, but more expressionistic, and using and utilizing a lot of different colors. Because I don't like my paintings to be boring, but I am trying to achieve a subtlety when it comes to painting in colors. And something that I did early on was I was painting way too saturated, way too much chroma in the paints, and it was really big values and just extreme versions of where I'm at today. And I definitely refined it more and more with every painting, where I'm trying to bring a subtleness to the lights that are coming out. And that is my ultimate goal, is to bring a subtlety to the lights, to the colors I'm using. Something that is making someone go, wow, how did he achieve that light effect or that color effect? And, you know, the reflected light coming from the chin or the cheek. And what was the process there? Was that, you know, was that early set, or was that something that I kind of built till the end of the process there? So yeah, when I'm so I think some of the benefits of waiting in general is to just prevent it from being a dull painting from the beginning. You know, you can get a simple block in, like, this is the light spot, this is the highlight, this is the middle values, and this is the shadow shapes. And then you're just kind of transitioning it into each other, and you're not using much variety. So here is my method of how I even go about this. When I'm looking at the colors that I'm going to be utilizing, I'm typically trying to underpaint as much as possible. And I'm not thinking of this as in this is all going to be covered, but I'm looking at the reference shot that I have, or if you're actually looking at a live model, you're looking at a part on, let's say, the cheek, and you're saying, okay, I see a little bit of green in there, a little bit of green mixed with like some flesh tones like red and a little bit of orangish yellowish, but it's more leaning to the green side. And even if I'm going a little bit further than where it actually is in reality, if I get that down on my underpainting, I know in the end, because that spot might be on the cheek or the light's coming down and it's illuminating that area, I can actually take, towards the end of the painting, I can take, you know, titanium white and maybe a little bit of a mixture if I went too far in the green direction or too far in the pink direction, and just take what I need to balance it out. I can take a white, and then I could take that, and I can actually get a little bit of my solvent-free gel, which I use in replacement as my linseed oil that I used to use, just using less medium now, but I use a little bit of the gel to make it buttery. And I'm actually kind of just glossing over that area. Like, just, I'm not scuffing. I don't want to be just a scuffing painter, but I'm kind of getting, sometimes I can do like a nice pressured brushstroke over it to just kind of transition into that that value. Or it's almost like a glazing effect, although I'm not just doing a monochromatic painting and then glazing with color variations on top. I'm just taking a white and then whatever it is that needs to balance that underpainting color out, and I'm just gonna, the pressure really does matter. I'm not just doing a hard brush stroke, or I'm not just like dabbing it on top. I'm really trying to think about how much lighter I need to go, because usually I'm doing this to make it lighter, and how much color I want to pop through, just like skin, where, you know, there's blood and veins and you know, things going on under the layers we see. That's our skin is, you know, it's not perfectly opaque, so it's almost an effect that you're seeing what's going on under the skin. So I wait till the end to do this, and I can do this in a lot of different areas. So a lot of people will say, you know, paint the lights and the highlights thicker. And that is true for when it comes to my paintings as well, but not in all the spots. I mean, this was an area that I'm working on that I need to lighten, but I want the underpainting to shine through, which meant that I had the colors down and I had, I picked a mixture that was kind of cool. It had some greenish and, you know, a little bit of flesh color. So it's like just subtly more green, and I needed to lighten it. So I just brushed it on top and kind of transitioned it into a lighter value that still showed the underpainting, which is not a thick brush stroke. And the thicker brush strokes will come when I'm really trying to illuminate that spot. So let's say we're moving closer to the very, you know, outward part of the cheek where the light was hitting the closest to, that part of the cheek was closest to the light. And that is where I'm getting a thicker, opaque titanium white, maybe with a little bit of cadmium yellow light, or maybe I already have enough warm colors underneath and that I needed to actually get a dab of blue in there. So that's usually what I'm doing with the highlight spot, is actually getting just a tiny little bit of yellow in there if I'm already have the coolish tones underneath, or I'm doing the opposite with the warm tones. I'm getting a tiny speck of blue in there, and that's gonna kind of help it vibrate on top of each other and really pull that highlight to the forefront. So sometimes this does involve me using my finger to blend it through, or maybe I went a little bit too heavy and I grab a piece of my shop towel and just kind of push and wipe it off or transition this. But if the more I practice with underpaintings, I think the underpaintings are a major, major part of this. And when I say underpaintings, a lot of this is going to be still at the final parts of the painting. For me, it's okay if I leave layers less filled in, and maybe there's some parts of the painting that have more layers and some that have, you know, the underpainting layers peeking through. If you think about Richard Schmidt, I mean, his pieces, you'll see his original brush strokes from that very first blank canvas that he put down still in the final painting. So I kind of have this, and that's probably just based on the people I've learned under, who have also learned under Richard Schmidt, but kind of that alla prima, impressionistic but very obvious brush strokes. I tend to lean that way. So sometimes what I see when it comes to approaching light values, and they're painted on too early as well, is I tend to see really light colors being put down. And there's something about when you put light colors down, even if you have a neutral wash on the canvas, it's really hard to get that area to actually be interesting when you put it down right away. I almost feel like that buildup, that it's almost like a tease, you know, up until that final highlight touch, is really allowing you to shift the viewer's perspective to where you want them to look, as opposed to putting stuff down early and you're just working on the shadows, the middle tones or middle values and light values all equally, and kind of just creating a painting altogether. Sometimes it can be boring or flat, or maybe there wasn't really that much interestingness going on with the color variations, which, by the way, I've actually changed my mind about this from the beginning of me painting. And a lot of people say colors don't matter, it's all about the values. And I actually agree with this less than I used to. Values are obviously more important because that's what's going to show the form and figure and really set the basis of what the painting's going to look like and how interesting it's going to be with the contrast differences and what have you. But But colors are actually way more important than I feel like, you know, more people would realize. And that actually took me a while to really understand, because it wasn't until I really started following some individuals like Vladimir Vologov or Aziz, I can't think of his last name. He's on Instagram and does paintings of Greece and is just brilliant at capturing light. Hassan, I can't think of his last name either, on who does landscapes or plein air paintings, and they capture light in this way that really the colors totally mattered on how you built up to that light. I mean, don't get me wrong, values are probably more important than color, but if you're trying to achieve a subtlety with the light or build up to that light, it really does matter how you build up the colors to that final point that you're trying to achieve there. One of the last things I feel about building up to the lights that, and it always gets me by surprise, but, and here's actually when I know when to start going towards the lights, but it actually kind of forces you to trust your own process and to be patient throughout that artistic process. And what I mean by that is, I mean, there's times where I'm painting and I'm getting the shadows down, I'm getting the middle values, and I'm just spending so much time in these two areas, the shadows, middle values. And sometimes I'll grab a rag and actually just, which I learned really early in oil painting, was to, if you want to put Gamsol on it or some solvent and wipe off areas you're saving for the lightest values, then that's perfectly okay as well. But or you can just kind of take out those spots that you're going to put the lightest values with the rag. But it actually forces you to be pretty patient throughout the process. And I've noticed myself, you know, I'll spend a lot of time in those areas, and it's kind of when I'm getting more redundant with and being way too focused on these areas that I realize, all right, let's start getting the lights in, because I'm almost overworking these other areas without even putting in the spots that I think is going to really draw in the eye. So if you find yourself kind of overworking certain areas, and if you're using this method and maybe you're saving the lights for later, if you find yourself overworking a lot of spots, even if it's not finished, but like you're just kind of going over spots you've already gone over so many times, then it's like, okay, yeah, it's time to start putting down, you know, a 3 or a 2 or a 1 on the value scale, maybe saving the 1 for a little bit later. And it really allows you to have some faith that you're actually going to create a painting that is going to be even better than where it's at with just the middle and the shadows. It's going to be pushed even further with the lights. And now is the time to really kind of complete that final third, which that's a soccer reference. For those of you that don't know, I'm a soccer player. So we separate the pitch in thirds, you know, the first third, middle third, and final third. Final third being on the attack, the final third of the pitch where you're creating scoring opportunities. And that's kind of what I think about this in terms of the lights, is actually it's creating that finishing process. And yeah, I really can't stress enough how much it helps me to just save the bit of highlights for the end and build up that subtlety to the lights just like a mountain. And what I meant by the mountain analogy is, you can build these layers on top of each other so that peak light is that highlight dab right at the peak. So that is it for today's episode, and it was fun for me to come back and talk about this. It's been on my mind a bit, so I wanted to make a podcast episode. But if you have any episodes or questions or anything, you want to be a guest even, hit me up on my information in the bio. And if you know anyone who's looking for a live wedding painter or a commission, feel free to hit me up as well. But I'd love to have guests on and love to talk about things that you're interested in. Hope this helped.